Thank you. If you have your Bible, will you turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke, the 15th chapter? This is one of my favorite parables that Jesus shares. The 15th chapter, beginning in the 8th verse. What woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search diligently until she find it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, I pray that you would take your word, that you would move us, Father, to the center of your will, that you would bless this time, Father. Make a change in us and make a change through us. In Jesus' name, amen. It is not by accident that God uses the imagery of marriage in speaking of our relationship to him. When God first made man and set him in the garden, it didn't take long for God to realize it was not good for man to live alone. Men, you just can't leave them by themselves. And so God created a helpmate suitable for him. When Jesus was ready to establish his ministry, it was not by accident that he did so at a wedding. He went to the wedding at Cana of Galilee and there performed the very first miracle, proving that he is the Messiah. The bond of marriage is an illustration of the bond Christ has with us as believers. And it is also an illustration of the bond between his bride, the church, and himself. When we get into this text, we're going to see that this parable also has a tie to marriage. In the second verse of this chapter, Jesus is dealing with a comment made against him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Now, that charge against him was absolutely true. There were occasions that Jesus had invitations to go to dinners, and he went. That's what any good preacher will do. Get a chance to eat, he eats. And that invitation sometimes came from scribes and Pharisees, but he went anyway. One of the things the Pharisees missed was that everywhere Jesus ate, he ate with sinners, including when he ate with scribes and Pharisees. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, there is nowhere you can eat that you don't eat with sinners. Even if you eat by yourself, there is a sinner present. And so Jesus reached out to those that are not perfect, people like us and us. Jesus tells three stories about things to let us know that he cares. He tells about a lost sheep, and the picture of is Jesus as the shepherd, the Son of God as the shepherd, seeking until he finds that precious sheep. And then the story today about a lost coin, and we see God searching, but this time it's God the Holy Spirit. And God the Holy Spirit is searching and working until that coin might be found. And the third story is about God the Father and how God the Father seeks a son that is lost until he is found. What's very clear is God, all of God, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, all seek those that are lost in this old world. Today, if you've not received Jesus as your Savior, you are lost. Everyone that has not received Jesus as your Savior that you know is lost. And I want you to know that God has a diligent search going on. In verse 8, he says, "What woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it?" Here this woman had 10 pieces of silver. One piece is lost. Now, if you're counting value in our thoughts, it doesn't seem like much. One piece of silver is worth about 15 cents. Doesn't sound like much, although that 15 cents in that day was far more valuable than it is today. In that day, the coin would be worth about a day's labor. And so it was more important because of its value, but it had more value than that. Its value was that it was not one by itself, it was one in ten. It was one very special coin that was part of a special drapery of coins that would have been very important to a woman in Palestine. For in Palestine, it was very common that a woman on her wedding day would take up 12 coins. Today, when someone is married, it is very common that they are given a wedding ring. And that ring is a sign and a symbol of their marriage. In that day, when a woman was married, she would take up a drapery of coins, and she would wear it as a sign and a symbol of her marriage. The 10 coins were treasured, but it was her sole possession, and it was valuable to her. One lost coin would be like losing a diamond out of your wedding ring. But even more, to say she was shaken at losing the coin would be a great understatement. Anybody would be shaken in her place. It was precious to her. Its loss would be absolutely unthinkable. She would do anything to get it, anything to find it, anything to search till it's found. Today, you know, single guys learn to look at a girl's hand to see if there is a ring on it. That ring would be a sign that she is already attached to someone else, and therefore he needs to move on. It's much easier in Palestine. You didn't have to look for the hand and make sure that you had the left hand instead of the right hand. No, you had to look at her forehead. And there on the forehead, you would see very clearly if she was wearing that band, if you would, that head dressing of coins. Dr. Jerry Vines said that those 10 coins were even more valuable to her to be in place. If that woman, as a married woman, was ever found to be unfaithful, and her husband loved her so that he did not kill her, as a sign of her unfaithfulness, he would remove one of those coins, and she would then wear the necklace with the coin missing. And everybody that saw her would see her in shame. And they would know her unfaithfulness, and they would know where she had gone wrong, and she would be dishonored by the loss of that coin. So she had lost more than a coin, more than a day's wage, more than part of her wedding band. She had lost the sign of her honor and faithfulness. She didn't just want to find that coin. I hope you know she had to find it. In her heart and in her mind, her life would be over without it. Her urgent desire for that lost coin speaks of God's urgent desire to draw us close, to reach each lost person, everybody. Everybody that doesn't know Him, He wants to know him. And may I say also, everybody that does know Him, He wants to draw us close. It doesn't matter that all but one is safe. I mean, after all, she had 9 other coins. That did not matter. It mattered that one was missing, and that was serious enough for an all-out search. Her purpose was not complete if that one was missing. I went through this passage and looked at how it was lost and where it was lost, and I realized that the coin was lost in the dark. The scripture says that she lit a candle to look for it. That means it was dark. But if you think of her dwelling would have not had any light. Other than candlelight or a fireplace, there was no light in the room. no electricity. And so the houses of that day were generally dark. Sin puts us in darkness. Sin makes it to where we can't even see where God would want to bless us and how God would want to move us. Sin makes it to where people are blinded. How do people do such horrible things in their lives? Because they walk around in blindness and they don't even know how far away from God they are. We're in a world of darkness. We're in a world that is lost in the dark. We're in a world that needs the light to come on that shines for Jesus. We need to be that light. Now, the Bible says that this woman took a broom and she swept to find it. And that made me realize, well, she's sweeping the dirt. The coin was lost in the dirt. Now, it wouldn't be hard to be lost in the dirt. Actually, most of the floors in Palestine were packed earth. And so loose dirt was very common, and that coin could very easily be lost under some of the dirt that was there. Today, people are lost in the dirt. The filth of our world is beyond imagination. I have heard children, little children, using language I didn't even hear until I was an adult. And then, usually with apology, we're in a filthy world. We're in a world where the media is full of filth. They call it social media. It's anti-social media. It's media that spreads filth. There is filth on television. There's filth in movies. There's filth, you know. There used to be one safe haven. You would watch the news, and yet the news now is full of filth. How easy it would be for the coin to be lost in the loose dirt on the floor. How easy is it for people to be pulled away by the dirt of our world? The Scripture reveals that it is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when people use filthy language, it tells you what their heart is like. We live in a world that is mired down in filth, that shows a soiled heart. The Bible reveals that even our best is not good enough. Even our cleanest is not clean enough. In Isaiah 64, the Scripture says, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousness as filthy rags. We do fade as the leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." And not only was this coin lost in the dark, and it was lost in the dirt, but the thing that shakes my heart is when I thought it was lost in the house. In the house. A great tragedy of our day is that there are people who are on our church rolls that do not know Jesus. They have been lost in the house, in God's house. The fact that they're on our church rolls means that there was a day, there was a point that they were under God's teaching. There was a point, there was a time when they made a decision, when they were baptized and went through the ceremony. But the fact that they have been away from God for a long period of time and have no desire to get close to God and have no desire to worship God is a sign that they do not know Him. Could they be believers that are just out of fellowship? Well, yes, they can be. They could be. But is it also possible that they could have gone out from us because they were not of us? They are lost in the house. What a terrible thought. And yet, you know, we have 1,300 members and we scarcely see a smattering of that. And certainly out of those people that we never see, there are people that are not in church anywhere, that don't ever attend to God in any way. They don't even think of God on a day-by-day basis. How could they ever know him? It is quite possible they have been lost in the house. It's an indictment of their lostness. And then there are some that have been raised up in a Christian home, and they got godly parents, good people that raised them, tried to raise them right. And yet those children never submitted to Jesus, never gave their heart to Jesus. There are some with children in the home that know the Lord, that seek to serve the Lord, but the dad or the mom has never once bowed their heart to Jesus. And they're lost in the house. We have Sunday school classes are meeting now. Not all the classes are meeting. We have many that are meeting. Sunday school teachers still trying to keep in contact with people they can. You know, in this day, they've separated from us, and you know, we really know they're out there, and they're still there. We're still praying for everybody, and we have people watching online, and we hope people are watching online. But it could be possible that there's some people that are on our church Sunday school rolls that don't know Jesus, and they're lost in the house. I issued this challenge before, and I issue it again because it is a burden of my heart. I challenge our deacons to, if you have not checked with everybody on your Sunday school roll or on your deacon list, check with them. Make sure that they know not only where the church is, not only that we care for them, make sure they know Jesus. If you've got people on your deacon list that never show up, that never come around, maybe it's an indication that they don't come around because they just don't know the Lord. And so as their deacon, just seek to find out, has there been that moment when they truly accepted Jesus as their Savior? And yes, maybe they're just a believer that's kind of drifted away, and maybe this is a time to encourage them to come back. And today, listen, we need the help of our deacons to let the people out there that haven't yet felt comfortable coming in, that we still love them, that we still care for them, that we still have a place for them. And if they are going to any other place, they would be just as safe coming here. And we want them to come back. Yes, if they can't come back, we want them watching, but we'd like to have them with us. Sunday school teachers, I encourage you to do the same, to check with those people that you are not seeing, that we have not seen, to make sure, first of all, we want to know that they know Jesus. But secondly, we want them to know that God wants them. And you know, can we worship online? Well, we've proven that we can have worship online, but it's not the same. We need each other. We need to see each other. And yeah, I know in the mask world we're only seeing eyes up, but we're at least seeing the person. And there's value in that. I don't want to get to heaven only to find out that we missed somebody that was lost in the house, that we did not give them every opportunity to be found. And so join me in seeking to reach them and seeking to encourage them. And you know, you'll find some that are faithfully watching online, and maybe your encouragement will be what brings them out. And maybe by Easter, we can see two rooms that are filled. And we'll have a reason to be in two services other than COVID. We'll be in two services because we need two services for the people. And maybe even more. Let's get together and at least make the same effort that this woman made to find her lost coin. Let's find lost souls. Let's find souls that are away from God, or souls that are away from church. If they're saved, pray with them and thank God for their salvation and for God's working in their heart. How important it is to our church family, to our church purpose, that we find those that are lost in the house. The Holy Spirit of God will not only go with us, the Holy Spirit of God will go before us every time we try to reach somebody that's been lost. There's a diligent search. There's a delighted sharing in verse 9. When she had found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost." I don't know about you and your house, but losing stuff is pretty common in the Spear household. It seems that as clear as I can think, which is about as clear as mud, I tend to misplace things. Or, in my thinking, things are not where I left them. They tend to move. You know, sometimes when we're looking for something that's lost, we look in places that they absolutely could not be. They're just a search to find something, and it's kind of like there can't be any peace in the family or any peace in the household as long as it's lost until it's back in our hands. You know, I have realized it doesn't matter where things were. You know, somebody will find something, they'll say, "I found this," and they'll say, "Where was it?" It doesn't matter where it was. It matters that I found it. It doesn't matter that my car keys were in the freezer. It just matters that I have them. And I can drive off with a cold start. There was joy for the woman and her friends because the coin can now fulfill its purpose. That's what we do when we bring somebody to Jesus. We have a person that can now fulfill their purpose. When we have wayward believers that come back to the Lord, we have a person that can fulfill their purpose. And when we are part of bringing somebody to Jesus, we're a person that's fulfilling our purpose. And yes, there is joy in that. Listen, if it's you, don't waste another moment away from God. If it's someone you know, well, don't waste another moment in trying to get them close to God. We don't badger them, no. We offer them the opportunity. There's a diligent search, there's a delighted sharing, and there is a delivered sinner. In verse 10, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents." If there is a person you know that does not have Jesus, give them the opportunity. You may not know if they have Jesus or not. Find out. Give them the opportunity. If it's possible, any possibility that you don't have Jesus, take the opportunity. And when you break the opportunity, when a person takes the opportunity, when a person says yes to Jesus, we know by God's word that heaven brightens. Heaven is a place of perfect peace. No more sin, no more sickness, no more sadness, no more pain. The streets are as pure as gold, filled with joy. It is hard to imagine anything making heaven better. But there is something. There is joy in the presence of the angels when one soul comes to Jesus. Now, who are in the presence of the angels? Believers that have gone before us. And so you want to brighten the life of a believer that has passed? Bring somebody to Jesus. Make a decision to come closer to Jesus and send a message of joy to heaven. Now, certainly if you are here and you don't know Jesus, then you send a message of joy to heaven by you coming to Jesus. As a believer, you just make a dedication of your life that you are going to seek to draw others to Jesus. And then just share with people. You know, sometimes you're so excited about the thought that you can lead somebody to Jesus when you're talking to them that you find out that they're already saved. It's kind of like, oh, no. No, that's a good thing. But we keep sharing until we find all the lost coins, all the lost sheep, all the lost children. And one sweet day, we'll be together. And we will rejoice, and we will be so thankful that we were found, that somebody cared enough to bring us the story, and that we said yes to Jesus. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I ask now that you would move within our hearts. Father, certainly if there is any person that doesn't know you, I pray that they would come to know you today. But Father, I pray for those that do know you that are here, Father, that we would draw closer to you than we have ever been. Father, that we would take seriously the charge on our lives to try to find each person that's away from you. Whether they are lost and have never been saved and they're away from you, Father, we need to call them in, how urgent it is that they be saved. Or whether they are saved, Father, and drifted away from you, how important it is that they come back to you. I ask, God, that we would be faithful to the task. And Father, we would see the results. And we would glorify you and we would praise you. And we would rejoice with the angels in heaven. Thank you for all that you are going to do, that you are doing now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now you got the cards that you filled out this morning. Be sure.